Welcome to Brain Core, the podcast that introduces you to new psychology and neuroscience research. I'm Tolu Faramika, and I'm joined by my co-host, Christina Balkanis. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
So this month, we decided to put the magnifying glass on neurotechnology. We did a little overview. We had on Adam, the co-founder of Neurable, and that was fun because we got to learn about, you know, what the future looks like with these new technologies. However, we wanted to emphasize that working with neurotechnology isn't something you have to wait to do. You don't have to, you know, graduate before you start your own project or idea. And so to emphasize that, our guest today is Chloe Duckworth, who is a sophomore at the University of Southern California, who is also the co-founder of three different projects, Valence, Brainstrong, and Hope Hearted. Chloe, welcome. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, like, we're so glad to have you on with us. I think you're the true definition of a student entrepreneur, being the co-founder of all three projects. Does that mean that, like, you're quite busy?
Yeah, I'm staying pretty busy these days. I'm not taking any classes right now. I took the semester off, so that's been pretty nice to set my schedule, but my days are pretty packed. Even setting my own schedule. So
just for listeners out there that aren't from the U.S., so being a sophomore means being in your second year?
Yes.
Okay. So before we dive into your endeavors, I think it would be cool to get to know you a little bit more. So I'll ask a random question here. What are three things you do to reduce stress or that bring you joy?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm Italian, so I really love cooking, particularly pasta and pizza. I really enjoy making different sauces, especially with my Italian grandmother, because she gets really excited to do it together. Mm-hmm. Fun family activity. I also love going to the beach and sort of playing in the waves. Living in California, I'm so lucky to have beautiful beaches and forests all around me.
Right.
I also love reading, particularly nonfiction books about philosophy, social justice, and physics. I recently read a really good book called The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli. And that's a really elegant look at the directionality of time and its sort of implications on the theory of everything in physics. And it was super interesting. That's not my field, but it was really cool to read.
That sounds really cool. That book sounds interesting. I've heard that conceptually, actually, like from person to person, we have individual differences on how we note the directionality of time. So maybe if listeners are interested, they can check that book out.
I wrote it down because yesterday I was talking about that yesterday with one of my friends who just finished a PhD. They were like talking about time and how it's relative and all that. So I wrote down the book.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So to get into your projects, I think maybe can you give us a little summary about each of them and, you know, what they entail?
Certainly. So the first project I began was Brainstrong, and I started working on that in the holiday season of 2019 as I was trying to teach myself iOS app development. And originally Brainstrong was a sort of reminiscence therapy app, which was helping dementia patients improve their autobiographical memory through personalized memory games. And I had decided to team up with a fellow USC student to begin finishing this app. And I had the opportunity to sort of work with my mother, who's a director at a senior living home, and she helped me understand what specific changes she witnesses among her residents with dementia pertaining to mood, activities of daily living, and overall behavior. And we use this information to create a calendar to sort of track daily behaviors and an insight section, which is showing different behavioral trends over time. And this serves sort of two purposes. One, it's illuminating different moments of lucidity and the situations that can create them. So in what contexts and in environments are people having these sort of moments of lucidity, and how can we increase the amount and frequency of these moments? Mm-hmm. And this is also creating a better data pipeline for dementia diagnostics, which currently miss a lot of key behavioral changes. And I'm excited to say we're set to release this app on the App Store next month, so you can stay tuned for that. Hope Hearted is a nonprofit that I had co-founded last May in the midst of the pandemic, and the initial goal was to help keep unhoused and low-income populations in the Bay Area safe from COVID. And I had the opportunity to create this with my younger sister and two former volunteers from a high school hospital program that I had created. And so Hope Hearted's goal is to bridge the access gap in sanitary supplies to help prevent COVID outbreaks in unhoused populations who have both a greater risk of getting sick and less access to healthcare when they are sick. So we're distributing COVID sanitary supply kits at health clinics, shelters, and food banks. And the last project you mentioned is Valence Vibrations, which is a startup that I've been working on since last summer. And we created a sensory substitution product, which is used to augment the emotional perception of neurodivergent people. The software uses AI to translate pitch changes into vibration patterns on a haptic wristband, expressing the emotional valence of speech as vibrations. And because neurodivergent people have an underlying difficulty in processing multimodal emotional inputs, like facial expressions, vocal pitch, and body posturing, this technology helps people interpret the emotional sentiment of those they speak with in a more accessible way by replacing these multimodal emotional inputs with very discrete haptic outputs conveying the same information.
Wow. So you definitely do have a lot going on. And I just, before we talk about Valence, I think that I have a lot of questions about that. But when you were talking about BrainStrong, you said that you taught yourself iOS app development. How did you do that? Like, what kind of tools did you use to help you learn how to create an app?
Yeah, so I essentially just downloaded Xcode and sort of looked at other example projects online and worked from there. It was definitely a lot of trial and error and trying to create different things. And then as I hit roadblocks along the way, I'd search up how to perform different operations within the app. I didn't end up finishing the entire code by myself. As I said, I teamed up with a more experienced iOS app developer who was also a friend at USC, and he helped me finish the coding. But it was really fun to sort of teach myself how to start a project like that.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely something I think we can start tackling in the pandemic, like different learning opportunities too.
Certainly.
Right. So all the projects sound so different, but with kind of like a similar aim, which is to help others, which I think is amazing. So because our focus this month is on neurotechnology, I think we'll spend most of our time talking about Valence and maybe a bit about BrainStrong as well. So the purpose of Valence is actually one that we've talked about briefly on the podcast before. We had on Keith Kirkland from the company WearWorks last month, and we had a conversation about the future use of haptic technology. And one of those uses involved helping those who are neurodiverse. So I think we want to hear like the journey of Valence. You know, like how did you come up with the idea and how did it get started up?
Yeah, so my now co-founder Shannon and I had met the first week of freshman year at USC because we lived in the honors dorms right across from each other. And we had bonded over late nights in the study lounge, and I came to know her as something of an AI expert. And so last summer, I had the opportunity to connect with Neosensory's CEO, David Eagleman, who, as I said, created the company Neosensory, which is expressing sounds as vibrations on a haptic wristband. And they've been doing this sensory substitution research for a couple of years. The first time that I met him was at a high school summer program, and I was so excited about sensory substitution and augmentation that I actually was inspired to study neuroscience because of that lecture. And so I reconnected with him last summer to sort of update him on how I was doing in school and get advice from someone within the neurotech field about what I could do within neuroentrepreneurship as a student. And so he encouraged me to apply to the Neosensory Developer Innovation Challenge. And so I immediately thought of Shannon, who had a lot of experience with AI, particularly on biological data. And so we started brainstorming on different neurological conditions that had sensory deficit components. And it became very clear that autism was a super underdeveloped target because there's this multimodal sensory integration issue, which isn't being currently addressed by other products on the market. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to create a technology to empower neurodivergent people to understand the people around them in a new way without trying to force conformity or sort of change their neurodiversity. We wanted to empower and uplift them. Ended up becoming finalists in this competition, and we've been developing ever since. So that was how Valence got its start.
I think this is a great use for haptic technology. It's hard already trying to maneuver the social world and then pair that up with the difficulty of interpreting speech from others as a neurodiverse individual. But you kind of mentioned this a little bit. When we say neurodiverse here, like, what specific populations are we talking about? Is it just those with autism?
Yeah, so when I say neurodiverse, that actually refers to variation within the human brain and encompasses all neurotypes, including neurotypical and neurodivergent. Our initial use case is neurodivergent people, specifically autistic people, people with ADHD, and or alexithymia. And alexithymia, if you're not familiar, is the inability to recognize one's own body states and emotions and those of others. And alexithymia is a common coexisting condition within autism and ADHD, but it's actually estimated to affect 10% of the worldwide population. And so this is our initial target audience, but we hope to expand beyond this population to include people of any neurotype that wish to augment their emotional perception. Through testing on myself and my co-founder testing on herself, we've actually learned that even neurotypical people who claim to be very empathetic and understanding can struggle with perceiving others' emotions. And we hope to include enough emotional nuance within our product to be helpful to any person, regardless of neurotype.
I'm glad you said that, because I was actually going to ask you about that later, if you were doing your testing on just a specific group of individuals or if you're trying to get a diverse population. And I'm glad you covered that. And I think it's great that you're actually recruiting people from all sorts of walks of life.
Yes.
I actually didn't hear about the term neurodiverse until a couple of weeks ago, though, when I was procrastinating on TikTok and a video came up and it said, "Are you neurodiverse?" And I was like, "Whoa, what's that?" And neurodiversity is actually trending on there now. I don't know if it's just my For You page or whatever, but there's 44.2 million views and a lot of videos about it. And since it's not a very popular term for lay people, we're actually making it today's term of the episode, so that it's our tote for this episode. And that being said, I know sometimes it's hard to come up with your own definitions for things, but how would you define neurodiversity in your own words?
Yeah, so as I said before, neurodiversity is referring to the healthy variation within the human brain and encompassing all neurotypes. And so contrary to popular belief, it actually includes neurotypical people, not just neurodivergent, which you probably saw was trending on TikTok. And so this essentially means that it's including people of any neurotype, so any brain disorder or typical functioning, as I said. And when Valence as a company is saying that we're pro-neurodiversity, what we mean by that is that we recognize that difference doesn't necessarily need to be treated or cured. We're operating on the belief that diversity is beautiful and the human experience would be significantly worse if we were all neurotypical. We also follow what's called the social model of disability, which means that people are disabled not by their biology being intrinsically better or worse than anyone else's, but by their support needs falling outside of the lines of what society currently provides. And this is because of ableism. Our experiences are explicitly catered to able-bodied neurotypical people, which means that we don't meet the support needs of, for example, autistic people who are overstimulated by bright lights or overstimulated by overlapping sounds. But that doesn't mean that there's something intrinsically wrong with that difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the way you just described that was beautiful. And I think it's good to know that, you know, neurodiversity includes a wide spectrum, and with diversity we have beauty. And I've seen a lot of videos that actually look at masking, or when individuals are taught certain processes to help them fit in, for lack of a better way of putting it. But what you mentioned that Valence is doing seems a lot better than trying to teach somebody to cover up the way they want to respond. So I think it's good, and I think what you guys are doing would help expand what is accepted in society as opposed to helping people fit in.
Exactly. We're simply not trying to make anyone fit in or conform to neurotypical standards or ableist standards. We're creating a product against conformity to empower people to better understand the people around them while still expressing themselves naturally. I think masking and a lot of other behavioral interventions have shown to be very harmful and actually sometimes traumatic, like causing PTSD in autistic people, and we certainly don't want to contribute to that. We, as I said, think that neurodiversity is beautiful and are trying to empower people to understand the people around them without having to change themselves.
That's great. So I know you're recruiting users to test the product. Does that mean that there's a physical product to try out?
Yeah, so we currently have an MVP that we're about to begin testing on. Our first test will likely begin at the end of this month. We have a cohort of 20 neurodivergent people that are going to be testing it for 2 months. And then after that, we're going to use our team of interns to iterate the features and add a couple of other things that we're thinking about, and then begin our second test on 100 people for 6 months. And the second cohort will include neurodivergent and neurotypical people. And another important distinction is that when I say neurodivergent people, I'm also including people that are self-diagnosed. A lot of the community is starting to recognize self-diagnosis because there are a lot of barriers to actually getting your first diagnosis of autism or ADHD. And so we want to include people that understand their behaviors but haven't had that diagnosis yet.
That is pretty cool, actually. And it's true, there's probably like a long waiting list or waiting period before you can get face-to-face with a professional to get that diagnosis. So it's good that you're recognizing that.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of barriers even outside of waiting times in terms of like institutional access to diagnosis and care. But I think people understand themselves better than a lot of medical professionals will give them credit for, and people understand their support needs and their behaviors remarkably well within this community. And so we definitely want to support people that feel they have this condition and would like to better understand the emotions of other people, even if they don't have a formal diagnosis.
Okay, so now we can move on a bit to Brain Strong. So this is the app that dementia caregivers use to record different types of data, like emotional changes, medications, daily behavior, and moments of lucidity. I think this is really smart because caregivers spend a large portion of their time with the individual with dementia, so it's like, who better to record those things, right? So I know you mentioned this a little bit before, but how do you see the data helping with research?
Yeah, so the behavioral trends that we're collecting can be used to aggregate a big data pipeline within dementia diagnostics. So we're essentially receiving an unprecedented amount of data about daily behaviors and how they're changing over time. And this can be used to develop better and earlier diagnostics for neurodegenerative disorders, particularly ones outside of Alzheimer's, because that's one disease that has received a lot of attention within the dementia community. But outside of that, there are a lot of other disorders that are not necessarily being studied to the same degree.
Okay, that is true. Alzheimer's does get a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Attention?
Yeah.
A lot of focus, yeah. Okay, and then there is Hope Hearted. The pandemic has been difficult for everyone, but I think one group of people that would fall into the category of being more vulnerable than most are the homeless and those in low-income households. And I read up on the Hope Hearted 2020 report, and it's amazing what you guys were able to accomplish and are accomplishing. Like 1,800 kits were made and distributed, $10,000 was raised. So I know the majority of this was conducted in the Bay Area in San Francisco. Does the Hope Hearted team plan to expand the area you distribute in?
Yes and no. So I think one of our strengths is that we're not trying to be a large national nonprofit. I think that there's a lot more community buy-in in this sort of nonprofit space when you have a grassroots community-led organization. And so we're not trying to expand outside of the Bay Area because we're losing that community aspect that I think is essential to our mission and the volunteers and donors that are so graciously donating their time and money to help our cause. That being said, we are trying to expand our reach and sort of our scale up our operations so that we're able to make and distribute more kits in a smaller amount of time. And so we just started a chapter initiative where we're having middle, high school, and community college students start their own club branch of Hope Hearted to fundraise, package, and distribute kits to expand our reach. So far we have 10 schools that are planning to do so, and our first sort of informational session is coming up soon. So I'm really excited to start these high school club branches and expand our outreach within our community.
I mean, that in itself is an expansion, right? Like with the domino effect with high schools, with high schoolers getting into it as well.
Getting the younger community involved and expanding in that way. It's really good.
Yeah.
Service was something that was super impactful to me as a middle and high school student. And I think that muscle of sort of trying to help the people around you in an impactful way, even if you're not getting anything out of it, you're not seeking recognition or something to put on your college apps, but you're truly trying to help the people around you and understand their conditions is super impactful in becoming a better person and in understanding the impact that you can make in the world and finding passion within helping people. And I think that that's super important to develop in children at a young age.
Yeah, it's very empowering. I volunteer at a homeless shelter, and every week when I go in, one of the guys says to me, "You have nothing else better to do on a Sunday?" And I'm just like, well, you know, this is like, I enjoy doing this. I enjoy helping you guys, but it's something that not everybody gets the chance to experience.
But we hope that they can experience it too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this will be my last question, and I'm not going to lie, I do not like asking this question or even answering it when people ask me it, but I think if you have an answer for it, it would be nice to hear. So I know you're interested in this intersection of neuroscience, technology, and medicine, so it's kind of like the question, where do you see yourself in the future, but I don't want to give a time frame of 5 or 10 years or anything. Just where do you see yourself going and what would be the ideal landing spot for you career-wise?
Yeah, so I'm super excited and passionate about the potential of neurotechnology to sort of democratize access to health. And I see myself further pursuing this mission with other startups, nonprofits, and community organizations in my future. I'm not super committed to only one facet within this space because I think there are many impactful and intellectually stimulating applications of neurotechnology that I'd love to explore. However, I do know that I want to spend my life working on sort of paradigm shifting and accessible technology. I think that too many players within the biotech space aren't asking themselves the accessibility question often enough. I personally have no interest in building a product that only contributes to the wellness of the wealthy 1%, which I think is a really common market within neurotechnology right now. Mm-hmm. I think that people who don't currently have access to assistive or augmentative technology actually need it the most. And I'd love to bridge this gap. I also think that we need to pay closer attention to the intersectionality of wellness when building these technologies. If we're not considering the overlapping and often interconnected systems of oppression and how these are contributing to social determinants of health, we can't adequately address diverse populations or their wellness. And this is what I want to spend my life doing. I think it's super impactful and personally meaningful work to me.
That was a pretty wow answer. The reason I don't like asking the question or answering it is just because I feel it's okay to not know the answer and still just be figuring things out. But I like your answer.
Yeah, we all know why I hate that question, because I'm not a planner. But I think most of us genuinely know it's hard to know what's going to happen in the future, but it's always good to have a plan. And from what you've shared with us, it seems like you've got a lot of passion fueling your goals. And sometimes it's just good to have that kind of sense of, you know, not what you want to be doing, but why you want to be doing it. And I think you really highlighted that why, and in that you want to create something that's more holistic and accessible for people. So, you know, all the best with those goals, and I'll be keeping an eye on you, not in a creepy way, but like in a good way.
Thank you.
I mean, the app that comes out next month will also be looking out for that. So this bonus episode is for the bulk of our audience, which is composed of students. Our previous companies and startups have been represented by, I would say, like an older demographic. And I didn't want there to be a disconnect between having a conceptual idea and making a practical product or working startup as a student. And I hope having Chloe on inspires you guys to work together, to think smart, don't put things off because you feel like you're not accomplished enough or haven't graduated yet. Don't discount the connections you make in first year if you want to take a lesson from Chloe's story. So, you know, go for it if you feel quite strongly about it. Two of the projects, Valence and Hope Hearted, have websites in case you'd like to find out more. I'll put the links in the bio. Chloe also has a website, actually, where you can find out more about the things she does, and that'll be in the bio as well. Let us know what you thought about this episode. Do you have an idea you want to get off the ground, focused on neurotechnology? Do you know someone that the BrainStrong app would help, or the Valence wristband? Like, let us know. Our email is thebraincorepodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram @thebraincorepodcast and on Twitter @thebraincorepod. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you know what to do. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you are having a great brain day.